Episode 1136, Bond, James Bond, the John Gardner era.
This is books, right?
Books.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I am Ben DiBono, and we are back.
Back. I didn't look. It's been a while since we did this series.
It has been. Well, and it's probably been a while because John Gardner wrote about a gajillion Bond books in his continuation series.
I think the last one we did was that unauthorized one.
Yes. Yeah, and that was probably a year ago. It took a long time, which, did I mention to you that there is an audiobook of that now?
Yes, I'm excited. I want to check it out.
I strongly recommend it. It's fantastic.
Have you seen it on Audible yet?
Yes.
What was that? I'll look it up. I'm curious.
It's called James Bond, the authorized biography.
What was the last name of the author of that book?
I'll check, and we'll do it post-credits.
All right, sounds good.
So this is, in the series, covering the continuation novels of James Bond. And so after Ian Fleming's death, just as the movies continued on post-Ian Fleming when they ran out of material, so did the novels. In fact, there's still Bond novels being published today. I know there was one recently for King Charles's coronation called In His Majesty's Secret Service.
We did talk about that.
I think it's a shorter one. We'll get there eventually. But,
so you're planning on going all the way through?
Oh, yeah.
To modern Bond.
To modern Bond.
Wow.
I mean, and John Gardner wrote for a long time. So he started in 1981, and which I think is quite a bit after Ian Fleming had passed. And he wrote all the way up to his last one being in 1996.
Okay.
So 15 years. He wrote 14 original novels in that time. Plus, he did novelizations for License to Kill and GoldenEye. I did not read the novelizations because I have little to no interest in novelizations. And so John Gardner's a really tough one.
If they base the movies roughly on the book plot, what would be the value in a novelization? I guess there are changes.
But they didn't. GoldenEye and License to Kill are both post-Fleming.
We've long ago run out of Fleming material. Okay.
And, you know, as you said, a lot of times they didn't. Like, case in point, Quantum of Solace is a title but has nothing to do with the plot. Same thing with the Spy Who Loved Me is a title of one of the novels. Nothing to do with the plot. And in fact, is the one novel Fleming would not allow to be adapted.
Hmm.
In part because it's a weird novel. James Bond isn't the main character in it. It's told from a female perspective. It got panned in reviews. So it wasn't like this was my personal one. It was more he was pissed off about the reviews. And so he didn't want anybody to adapt it.
But then they did anyways. They still took the title?
They took the title, but it was not in his lifetime. The plot wasn't allowed to be taken.
Has the plot now been used at all?
No. Okay. And it won't be. I mean, pieces of it might be here and there, but it never will be.
Okay.
So John Gardner's an interesting case because 15 years, 14 novels, as you can imagine, the quality is a little bit all over the place. I will say the last few get pretty bad. He really falls off a cliff sometime around where he's got three or four left to go, in part because he makes the critical mistake of having Bond get a permanent love interest. And Bond, if he gets a permanent love interest, she needs to die. I'm sorry, that's just how the character works. You know, you can have Vesper Lynd, you can have Tracy, and then you have Bond himself dying in the Daniel Craig era when he gets Madeline Swann.
Spoilers.
If you're listening to a movie or an episode on John Gardner Bond novels, I'm going to make the safe assumption that you're caught up on the movie series. You know, so that's where they really go off the rails. I believe she does die in the last book, but she's been around for like three or four at that point, and Bond in a permanent monogamous relationship is a much less interesting character.
It's interesting you bring that up because in Austin Powers, which you've seen now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They parody Bond, of course, and Austin Powers gets a permanent love interest and gets married at the end of his movie. But then at the opening scene of the second movie, they realize, wait a second, we can't have him be married.
Yeah.
And they do away with that through story.
Yes.
So,
yes. Yeah.
Do you remember what happens?
I don't.
I won't spoil it for you then. Have you seen the second one?
Yeah.
They make her into an evil robot.
Oh, that's so right.
The second movie opens and all of a sudden the love interest from the whole first movie, evil robot. Now he can have a new love interest.
I do remember that. Yes. We did a Bond, James Bond, the Myers era.
Oh, that's great. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's in the series.
You know, since we're paused right now, real quick, let's plug the Patreon feed because we've been doing a deep dive on the Roger Moore James Bond films, and we ended up liking those movies those episodes so much. Just it's such a fun time, the deep dive on James Bond. We're going to go all the way back. We're going to start with Sean Connery and go through the whole series.
Yeah.
One by one, deep dive on the James Bond films. You can find us at patreon.com/thescificristian. That's a way you can support us. You love this show? That's the way to do it. You support us and you get something more.
Even if you only mildly, yeah. And I'd say even if you only mildly like this show, we can still use your support.
Yes. No matter your level of interest, yes. We're very interested in your money.
Exactly. Big fans. So, and you mentioned Roger Moore, and that's, I think, one of the things, and for the record, I'm not going to go through these plot by plot by plot, because A, there's 14 of them. I read them over the course of over a year.
Oh, I did check.
They blend into each other.
The last episode we did in this series was episode 1094, Bond, James Bond, the Pearson era.
Okay, so Pearson must be the author.
And it was just about one book that was an authorized biography, but a pretend in-world biography.
Yes.
Okay,
that's fantastic.
So it's been a year.
Yeah.
Wait, did I say? May 18th, 2023 is when we release that episode. So
okay,
I would guess you started Gardner around May of 2023.
I might have already read some of them because okay. I'd already started Gardner at that point. But anyway, so I read them over a longer period of time. John Gardner has the problem that he has to follow up Ian Fleming. And let me tell you that if you don't appreciate Roger Moore, read some of the Gardner novels and you will. Because what Roger Moore did with Bond, specifically with following Sean Connery, is he really, whether you love or hate Roger Moore, and of course you love him.
Oh, we love him.
Because what kind of lunatic are you? He made it so that Bond, he injected this idea of the character constantly reinventing itself, which has continued to happen through every actor. Bond has constantly reinvented itself, and that's been the key to the series' success. What happens with John Gardner is that he doesn't do that. He really writes almost as an imitation of Ian Fleming. He's trying to imitate his style. He's trying to imitate the way the character is, the mannerisms of the character. And for a number of the books, he does a competent enough job of that. It loses steam eventually, and eventually you start to feel like this Bond has no personality. And of course he doesn't. He's just a shadow of Ian Fleming's Bond. Like, so you hear people debate, like, which Bond actor is the closest to Fleming's. And I think reading Gardner really made me reach the conclusion that if that's the goal, that shouldn't be the goal. Certainly there's going to be interpretations that take this or that from them. But the strength of this character is the variety of ways he can be interpreted. And Ian Fleming, although certainly deserving the credit for creating him and is definitive in a way that the others are you know, echoes of, is not the only way to interpret this character. And that's the flaw in the John Gardner novels, is feeling like it's just an imitation of Ian Fleming, and then they run out of steam. That said, there's some good stuff in here. You know, Icebreaker, which is the third one that he wrote, has Bond taking on neo-Nazis, which recurs a couple of times, and is a fairly intense thriller. There's also one, I believe it's Win, Lose, or Die, which is an interesting one. It's written in 1989, or published in 1989. And in the course of the plot, there's this whole assassination plot against Margaret Thatcher, George H.W. Bush, and Mikhail Gorbachev, who become speaking characters in the book. So it James Bond interacts with Thatcher, Bush, and Gorbachev in this book.
It is weird to set him in a certain time period. Like, I mean, what I mean by that is like a more real life
right
moment in time.
Right. Like Bond's always kind of contemporaneous.
He's a little bit timeless and you can kind of adjust his story.
Yes. You know, the other instance that does that is the end of For Your Eyes Only, but it's played for laughs there. But
in the movie about to watch?
No. We already watched it. When Thatcher gets on the phone with him.
Fake Thatcher.
But, you know, there it's more comedic, whereas here it's actually serious, so it has a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
Huh. That's kind of weird thing to it. I'd say, by and large, that they aren't, you know, terrible books. A couple of them are later on. But if you're, you know, if you like James Bond novels, they're worth reading. I'd give a tepid recommendation overall if you're into that type of thing. But if you're not, you know, there's certainly nothing wrong with just stopping at Ian Fleming 2.
It does sound like these are, I guess I would have imagined you can kind of hop in and out of any James Bond book and get the story similar to, you can kind of do that with the movies, although you and I have experienced that if you do watch them chronologically,
yeah,
it's a better experience. So is that the same case for the books, where do you need to have read a lot of the books, especially with the love interest, to really get the full dimensions of the story, or can you just hop into any of them and enjoy it?
You know, it's weird because largely they're written independently of each other, but then you have things like some of John Gardner's own, you know, continuity that he starts burdening the books with later on, and I think they're less effective. He's also operating within Ian Fleming's continuity, which is a weird thing as the books go on and on and on, in that he seems burdened with, it's kind of like Bond has this rolling continuity. There's a few things that are there, like, you know, Tracy Bond's death up until the Daniel Craig era when it was all reset. But other than that, we just sort of accept it for what it is. John Gardner tries to keep things a little bit more in line with Fleming. And so, you know, M is aging and Bond is getting old, and it's like, it all just starts to feel very unsatisfying. I would say, as far as reading them, you can jump in and out of any of them. And I'd say from that perspective, if I was to give a recommendation or two, probably Icebreaker is a good one. I liked quite a bit. Any of the middle ones, you know, the plots all blend together.
Just throw them out. Just throw out the titles.
No Deals, Mr. Bond. I think that one I really enjoyed. Scorpius. Win, Lose, or Draw was that Thatcher one that was a little weird. You know, those two in the middle would be good. Nobody Lives Forever. There's a few in there that are decent.
All right.
So overall, I would say I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it more because I enjoy reading James Bond than I do the literary merits of John Gardner.
Yeah, I do kind of feel like you're not as enthused. You like Bond. It's maybe a fun journey to go through all the books, but is it becoming homework a little bit?
It was towards the end of John Gardner, but I'm excited because now I get a new author to go on to. So,
have you started yet or not yet?
Not yet.
So what do you know about this new author?
Raymond Benson. So I don't know a ton about him. He had a much shorter period of time, 97 through 2003. I can see here that 12 total things, according to Wikipedia, but that includes both short stories and novelizations. He wrote, outside of GoldenEye, who John Gardner had done, he wrote novelizations for all the other Brosnan movies, which I guess is three of them, and then it looks like three short stories. So there's only six books, it looks like. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So yeah, much shorter, so can probably get through them a little bit faster. I've not begun them yet because I'm reading The Expanse. Maybe we should talk about The Expanse post-credits.
That's a good idea. Well, we are post-credits.
Yeah, I guess. So probably when I do start them, we'll get through them quicker and can maybe give a little bit more detail rather than the year and a half I read John Gardner over.
Well, listeners, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Van DiBono.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians. Signing off, I want to talk about Expanse, but I just want to say I like movies and I like books, but the idea of reading a novelization of a film,
I completely agree.
I don't know if I could be interested in anything less.
It has no appeal.
Yeah. Why? Why is that true?
Because people buy them.
No. I'm not saying why do they exist. I'm saying why do they give us that feeling? Because we both like reading and we both like movies. It's like
an adaptation in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because going from
book to
great,
movie.
A book to movie, a great medium to a fun medium.
Well, and what can be a great medium.
But
it's like, then if you know you're, like, if you watch Dune and then you go read the book, you know you're going to get this richer experience. Like, there's no, there's probably very few novelizations that are a richer experience.
Yes, the thing that would make it richer would probably be in some ways more watered down because the author is trying to come up with something to make it richer.
Exactly.
Instead of it being there. Yes. The book has much more to work with, layers.
Yes.
And the movie can just hint the layers.
Yeah.
But a book that doesn't have...
A book that's an adaptation can't.
You have to make up layers.
Yeah. It was never there.
Fan fiction. Yeah, it seems like fan fiction.
Yep. I think you hit it.
All right. Okay, so I'm in the middle of Expanse Book 1 because of you.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about here?
I don't know. Are you enjoying the Expanse?
Guess what? I don't love it so far. Okay. But how... So, listeners, we're not going to spoil this because I'm in the middle. Ben's read two books, right?
Three. Or just finished I'm going to start four soon.
So I had the series strongly recommended to me. And so I talked to you about the series, and you said, I want to read the books first. And this was years ago, maybe 1 or 2 years ago, maybe more. And so here we are. You've started it now. I don't know. It's not my favorite. Tell me about the first book. What do you remember of the first book? Was it a slow burn for you?
It is a little bit of a slow burn. Once you start to, I think by the end of the first book.
All right, this is no spoilers for the listeners, but just for you. I'll say they just introduced a character named Fred.
Okay.
And I'm interested in where this new story could go with Fred. Do you remember Fred?
No.
Okay, that's not a good sign.
how far? You say you're in the middle.
Fred Johnson, I think. He's like a colonel.
Oh yeah. I know Fred.
So when
never mind. I know Fred.
Yeah, when he gets introduced, it's like, okay, things are picking up here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Never mind.
Okay.
He didn't register as Fred, but once you said Fred Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, so, the butcher of Anderson Station.
So, yes.
Maybe a little offensive.
It's a little bit too close to home, right? Yeah. So... There looks to be like, it looks like the story is about to open up.
Yes.
And so that intrigues me. It's a, I want to say 19-hour book, and I'm in like hour 5. So I'm very early still.
You're still very early.
So I don't want to judge it until I finish.
Yes.
But I'll just say initially 5 hours in, I'm with it, but not in love with it.
I think that's okay. It gets better and better and better.
And so you're on book 4 now, or you've read 3 books. Are you just so into it?
I'm getting pretty into it, like, and I don't want to give any spoilers away, but as the pieces start to unravel and you start to realize what's going on, like, you know, the whole prologue where you meet Julie Mao and she's, you know.
No, I don't think I've done that yet.
Yeah, you have in the prologue. Like, there's this horrific scene.
Yes, but is that her?
Oh, yes.
You know what?
Yes, it is.
Can I tell you the truth? Because you don't know any of the characters, and then all of a sudden you meet these other characters. I thought that was flash forward, and now we're going back and getting there.
Nope.
I do know who Julie is.
Yep.
So you're telling me that what I experienced there was her story.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I want to talk about something off the air then.
So then as you start to...
I didn't realize that was her, to be honest. Because I'm listening. Are you reading or listening?
Listening.
Okay.
By the time you finish book one, you will have barely scratched the surface of the world that's unfolding, but you'll see enough where you'll be... You know, hopefully have this reaction I did, which is, holy crap, where is this thing going?
So I
won't give any more spoilers than that.
I'm not telling you to slow down by any means, but at the same time, I don't want you to get too far ahead of me because we should do book by book reviews until I bail or stick with it.
Understood.
But I'm not saying you should slow down. I'll just try to keep up the pace.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a pretty distinct idea of each book so far. Each book feels very, very distinct.
I'll try to fast track this one a little bit. I'll put Infinite Jest off to the side.
Might as well. I was going to ask about Infinite Jest.
It's still happening, listeners. Just doing a little bit at a time.
You're
eating it just the same way that you eat an elephant.
One bite at a time.
That's right. All right, listeners, that's all from here. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
We're off the air. I am recording, so, but Julie... So as Miller's investigating, I'm 5 hours in.
Yeah.
As Miller's investigating, Julie, I think he thinks is dead. But if you're saying that prologue was, I remember that girl from there, she didn't die there. So I think the implication is Julie is probably alive then when Miller's investigating her, even though he thinks she's dead. Just tell me, is she alive? Right? 5 hours into the book, is Sure, or is that a ruin? Will this ruin something?
It won't ruin anything. I can't possibly answer that question because the answer to it won't make any sense till you get there.
Perfect. Okay, I like the sound of that. Was that a spoiler? Can I keep that in the show?
I think you could keep it. I'll just say the answer to that question is one of the craziest things that at least for me, sold me on this series.
Wow, you're selling me on it right now. I was thinking I'll finish this book and I might bail because it's 14 books long.
No, it's not.
Nine?
It's 9 books long. You're looking at, like, there's novellas and
yeah,
short fiction.
I think I am looking
stuff.
At the short stories. How are you going to acquire those short stories?
So there's a single collection that has them. First of all, you can skip them. Like, if you're so-so in the series, they're not plot, they're character-based. Okay. So far...
You know, if I skip them, you could fill me in if we do these episodes.
Yeah, you could do that.
Okay. I think that's the plan. All right. Well, listeners, if you're still with us, I don't know how much of that I'll keep. I'm more excited right now than I have been because of your big recommendation. So,
man, yeah, like there's things I want to talk to you about, even just within book one. Just within book one, but I can't until you get there.
Give me 2 weeks. I'll try to finish.
That's fine.
I'll try to finish the next 2 weeks. Let's just plan on in 2 weeks from now, we'll do book one.
Okay. Yeah, I'm totally hooked. I was thinking, I'll probably read about one a month. I am accelerating very quickly.
Wow. Okay. I love this conversation. I'm glad we did that. All right, listeners, that's it. Hope you're having a great time listening. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Do check us out on Patreon where you can learn more about James Bond.
If you're still here, you love this show.
I just heard somebody on a different podcast talk about how many episodes they have on Patreon. I wish I knew that because I want to tell you. I want to brag. Well, let's just take a look.
Or at least hundreds.
Here's what we've done tonight. Tonight we recorded episode 168 and 169 for the uncensored feed.
But make sure you're okay with the
uncensored. Yeah, some of the uncensored is bad.
I wouldn't say it's bad.
It is bad. Some of it is bad. We did episode 181 for the extra feed, which is basically the main feed, but you have to pay for it because it's extra episodes.
Yeah.
But that's where we do our deep dive book studies, and right now we're in the Odyssey. We've done 57 episodes on a health and fitness podcast called The Skinny Fat Christian. We stopped our sports episodes, but there's a lot, countless there. Yeah. Not literally countless. Someone could count them.
You could count them.
But
quite easily.
What do you think? 20 to 50?
Yeah.
What else am I missing?
That's a heck of a descriptor for countless.
Sports. Maybe 100. I mean, really? Do you want me to find out?
No, I do not.
We're post-credits.
No, I do not.
No, we're doing it.
You are not selling people on Patreon right
now. So the sports is not the best thing. We can't, just like always, when we see something's not working, we just ditch it.
Yeah, sometimes it
was
worked
fun.
For a while.
Yeah, it worked for
it was
Inside the hoop.
That was one of our best jokes.
Inside the punt.
Yeah.
Well, inside the outfield.
The joke had its day.
All right. But yeah, I think the big selling points are the uncensored feed, the extra feed, and the Skinny Fat Christian. Those are our main Patreon episodes right now. Oh, I've got a podcast with my wife called Draw the Line about finances.
Yeah. How's that going?
Going great. I have a podcast called Stuff. I should be honest about that. Draw the line. I think there's 2 or 3 episodes.
That's what I was fishing for.
I have a podcast called Stuff Ben Doesn't Like, which has quite a few.
For a while.
But I don't think I've done one for about a year.
Yeah.
But you like a lot of things now.
I do.
So yeah, there's lots happening there, which you can get for the low price of $3 a month for the extra feed on patreon.com/thesci-fi-christian. Ben, what would they have to pay to get everything?
That's
including
$7.
The uncensored feed.
That's $7 to be horribly offended.
That low
out.
Price?
Yeah, very low.
Wow. That's I didn't even know it was that low.
Yeah, you should go subscribe.
I'm going to. I think we've never done a full-on commercial. That's got to be the best one.
That's pretty
good.
Should
we just save that and put it at the end of every episode?
Why not?
All right, listeners, goodbye. Thank you again, and goodbye. I mean, I'm going to stop it, but that was good.
It's solid. Have you watched Three Body Problem?
No, but I want to so bad. Is it good?
It is good. It's very. I finished it this weekend.
How many episodes is it total?
8.
All right. I mean, I love the book. Is it pretty similar? Same story, or do they do some new things?
Same story. It's not as China centric.
Okay. There is. So I definitely want to watch Three Body Problem. There's another show I want to recommend to you. I haven't seen it.
Okay.
It's something I want to get into. And I haven't checked out yet. I want to confirm the title. I think the title is Bodies. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It came out last year. I'm just going to read the description I have here online. One victim found dead on a London street. Four detectives in four different time periods must solve the mystery to protect Britain's future.
I had heard about that. I've heard it's good.
Yeah. So I want to watch Three Body Problem and Bodies. So just keep that.
Bodies.
Keep that on your radar.
Well, as long as you're throwing out recommendations, I started Ripley last night.
What's Ripley?
It's a new adaptation of Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, what channel is it on?
Netflix.
Guess what? I've never heard of it. I didn't know it even existed.
You've heard of Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, I love that movie. I didn't know.
Oh, no, it's a book.
I love the movie with Matt Damon.
I've never seen the Matt Damon movie.
Guess what? You know how I mentioned it a couple weeks back that I think Matt Damon is my favorite actor?
Is that why?
It's not the movie. The movie is not a favorite movie. I was a senior in high school when this movie came out. And I just remember being impressed. And, you know, as an 18-year-old, you're only sometimes impressed.
Right.
And you don't necessarily care about actors' quality. And I just remember thinking, at that point, I had to have seen him in some other things. But it's like, man, this guy's range. I wouldn't have used those words.
Right.
But what I was feeling is, this guy has some range.
Yeah.
And then I went on to see him in various things I felt impressed by. So, Talented Mr. Ripley, the film, kicked off my love of Matt Damon. Although, I think the film itself is fine. So, no, yeah, I'll have to check out
Ripley, it's great.
How do you like the book?
I just finished the book for the first time. I've seen adaptations before.
How many adaptations are there?
There's a lot.
So there's the book and the Matt Damon movie. What else?
There's the one I've seen is a French movie called Purple Noon.
Okay.
And then there's not of the first book, but I've seen there's a Wim Wenders movie that adapts Ripley's Game and parts of Ripley Underground. So I think I'm going to read it to my kids, actually, my older two.
What? I remember the movie. It didn't seem good for kids.
Well, my older kids. I let them watch some dicey stuff.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, let me know about the show.
I enjoyed the movie.
I'm guessing Matt Damon doesn't appear?
Not yet.
Okay.
It's great so far, though. Big fan.
All right. Listeners, you got so much bonus material.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.